Today is Thursday, April 4th. The title for our devotional is Of the Flesh and the Spirit. For Easter this year, we are in Romans 8, focusing on the power of the Spirit. Specifically, we are focusing on verse 11, which reads, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." Now, to focus on that passage, we are going to look at what he says in verses 5 through 11. The main theme is the contrast that he draws between the flesh and the spirit. The main idea is in verses 1 through 2. So on the devotional page, if you're to navigate over there, I've put all the statements about the flesh in red and all the statements about the spirit in blue, so you can very easily see how this is Paul's main theme through this section where he's talking about the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. So yesterday we read all of Romans 8. Today let's just read verses 1 through 13. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death." That's the big idea that he's talking about in this section, that through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. "For what the law," that's the law of Moses, "was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God and does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live." Okay, in these passages, Paul's not prescribing certain behavior or exhorting us to live a certain way. Instead, he is making ontological statements as to the nature of the believer and the non-believer. The insertion of the word live in verse 5 is a decision made on the part of the translators. They are translating it as a continuation of the idea from verse 4. Verse 5 literally reads, "those who are according to the flesh," and "those who are according to the Spirit." Either way, verse 9 clarifies it. "You are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit." This is what Paul is talking about here. The non-believer is still living in their flesh, that is, in their sinful nature. As a side note on this, the use of flesh is not to devalue the physical world, as if the spiritual world is more valuable than the physical. God will redeem all of it, both material and spiritual. Paul uses flesh to describe the aspect of our human nature that is in rebellion against God. It's important to make that distinction. Paul is writing to a group of both Jews and Greeks in Rome. The Jews he calls the weak in faith for their failure to leave behind the Jewish traditions in accepting Jesus. This isn't wrong for them to continue doing some of their Jewish traditions, but it suggests a weakness of trust in Jesus to save apart from the law. That being the case, he calls them weak. Therefore, it's difficult to imagine that Paul doesn't have legalism and religiosity in view when he references those who are, quote, in the flesh as well. He certainly has the pagan immoral living in view, too. Both miss the salvation and life in the Spirit. Both still stand condemned as they are outside of Christ, who has set us free from the law of sin and death and given us life in the Spirit. Those living in their flesh are following a law that is powerless. That is both the moral law and the law of Moses, if you think he has in view here. Not because of anything intrinsically insufficient in the law, but it's because of the weakness of our flesh, he says in verse 3. Those who are in the flesh think only of their carnal and selfish desires, he says in verse 5. This mindset is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God, and it cannot please God, he says in verses 7 and 8. Ultimately, those in the flesh are condemned to sin and death, he says in verse 2, 6, 10, and 13. Thank God that there's good news. That's the bad news. There's good news. Through faith in Jesus, believers enter into the realm of the Spirit, Paul says. That is, from death to life. This is an ontological change to the core of the believer's nature. They are no longer in the realm of the flesh, but are now in the realm of the Spirit, he says. The mind is then set on what the Spirit desires, that is, God's will, in verse 5. The mind is full of life and peace, he says in verse 6 now. Those in the Spirit have the righteousness of Christ, declaring them justified before God, and live righteously also in the will of God, we see in verses 10 and 13. The existence in the realm of the Spirit is an essential part of being a Christian in verse 9. This means that there is no sense in which one can be a Christian and not have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. There are no spiritless Christians. To sum this up and bring it back to our topic, Paul is here describing the Christian life as a life lived in the realm of the Spirit. This is to say that it is a life lived in power. Power to give life to that which was subject to death. Power to make us righteous. And standing before God is justified. Power to live in this righteousness and keep the law of Christ. Power to transform our mind and our desires to God's will. The Christian life is a life of power in the Spirit of God. Today, I invite you to reflect on the characteristics of the life lived in the realm of the flesh versus the life lived in the realm of the Spirit. Do you identify more with the description of the life lived in the flesh or the life in the Spirit? This is to be a litmus test for believers to reflect on their spiritual life. How have you experienced the new life in the realm of the Spirit? Have you experienced life change and power in your spiritual life that transforms your mind to desire to do God's will and experience life in peace? This life in the realm of the Spirit is not an optional add-on for the super Christians. It is an essential part of the Christian life.